looking at some scripture in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And then I have some scripture that I want to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I just want to read just a couple of verses here from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. In verse 8, it says, "Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." Now, if we skip to the 11th verse, it begins specifying these gifts. And it says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Now, with those verses in mind, if we look at the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, in 1 Corinthians 14, he wrote about spiritual gifts. And in between those, and what we find recorded in the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he wrote about the agape love of God. But in this chapter and chapter 14, he wrote about spiritual gifts. And in the first verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul said, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." And he goes into the fourth verse. He says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, 'I have no need of thee,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And then the Apostle Paul here says basically the same thing that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, where I read from the fourth chapter of Ephesians. He said, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. And then he begins to ask some questions. In the 29th verse, he said, are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and I show unto you a more excellent way. And then he begins to give them his discourse about love. But now, in the 12th chapter here of 1 Corinthians, and I know that what I say tonight, I won't be talking exactly about what the Apostle Paul was here in his writing, because we live in the day when some of these things that he wrote about have passed away. There aren't apostles anymore. And there aren't some of these gifts that the Apostle Paul spoke about here were gifts that were given to the early church for the purpose of accrediting his church, and they don't exist among us anymore. But I believe that the principle that he taught here is still very valid today. And I think that Paul was saying in this that God does different things with different people. He does not do the same thing with all of his children. You know, he doesn't take every man that gets saved. God did not take every one of them and make apostles out of them. He did not take every one of them and make evangelists out of them. He did not take every one of them and make pastors out of them. And I don't know how you feel about it, but I still believe today that God calls men into the ministry, not necessarily to do the work of a pastor. And so the Lord still today has a diversity of gifts. And he does with us, each of us, what he will. But another great point that the apostle was making in this 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is that every child of God and every member of the Lord's church is important. Every member. And nobody can really say, well, you know, there's nothing for me. And nobody can say, no one member can say, well, you know, we don't need that member. And so the Lord has something for every one of us to do. And I'm going to tell you what I believe. Now, I don't know, you know, there may be people that haven't even found it yet in themselves. There may be people who are still searching in themselves for exactly what it is that, you know, God will for them in his service. But I'm going to say this, that I believe that every one that has been saved and has been added to the Lord's church, that God has given that person their own gift. And God has given them their own work to be done. And, you know, sometimes people have to pray and find out, you know, Lord, exactly what it is that you have for me. But now I'm going to say that according to God's word and the things that the Apostle Paul said here in his writing to the Corinthian church, there's none of us that God gave us nothing to do. None of us. He has something for every one of us to do. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? No. Does everybody in the day that he was talking, did everybody have the gift of healing? Did everybody have the gift of tongues? No, there was a diversity of gifts. God gave, as Paul said here, God gave to every man severally as he would. Now, I'm going to, mention some names, and I certainly don't mean to leave anybody at all out, but I just, am going to do this to make a point. I believe that Brother Dallas, for example, is a wonderful teacher. And I really, I don't just say that, in jest. I really believe that he is a wonderful teacher. But now, also, I believe that none of us are anything without God. And we don't do anything without the Lord. And I believe that he is a wonderful teacher because that's the gift that God bestowed upon him. And I believe that, Brother Joey, I was thinking about the song that he shared with us last week, How Great Thou Art. And I believe that he's a wonderful musician and a wonderful singer, got a wonderful voice, but I believe that that's because God gifted him in that way. And, whatever that God has done for us, we have, Sister Jeannie and Sister Sherry and Sister Janet and Sister Timms that can come up here and play the piano. And I believe that God has given them their talent and gifted them in that way. And if we use all of these things that the Lord has done for us, then, they all work together, don't they? And I know that when Brother Ernest got ready to lead the songs tonight, he was looking for somebody that could come up and play the piano. And I'm thankful that, the ones in the church here that are able to do that, I'm thankful that they didn't say, well, I can do it, but I'm not going to. I just don't want to do that tonight. I don't want to do that for the Lord tonight. I'm glad that those that are gifted in that way, that they are willing to be used of the Lord. Now, something that I think sometimes evidently we say things, but not everybody believes it. And I think when I was thinking about our upcoming revival meeting, I thought, I've heard this saying among our Baptist churches for years now. As churches were approaching a revival meeting, somebody would talk about how that we need to pray because the preacher is not going to have a revival in his pocket. Well, I believe that. Do you believe that? Do you believe that the preacher, you believe that Brother Chris is just going to bring the revival with him? I don't think that he's going to do that. But evidently, not everybody believes that. I mean, evidently, there must be people, there must be members of Fairview Memorial that believe the preacher does bring the revival in his pocket because they don't seem to have any desire or see any need to even attend. They don't see any need to even put any effort into the meeting. And so evidently they must believe that the preacher will bring it, or they must believe it'll come some other way. Evidently they don't think they have any part in it. They don't think they have anything that God wants to do with them at all because they don't even make the effort to be here. Shouldn't be that way. You know, we ought to everyone, whether we are approaching our revival meeting or whether it's time for Sunday morning service or whether it's time for our midweek prayer meeting or whatever that the church is doing, everybody that's able ought to be willing. And everybody that's able and willing ought to, you know, step up and say, well, what can I do? You know, God, how can you use me? And I'll tell you what, if we're going to have, and I believe that certainly we want to see revival, but I'll tell you what, if we're going to have a good revival meeting, if we're going to be successful in our labors, it's going to be a joint effort. We're going to have to all be willing to pull our weight and do what God would have us to do because He has given to us our own task. He's given to us our own gift. God never does anything without purpose, does He? There's nothing arbitrary at all about Him. He has a purpose in everything that He does. And whatever talent, whatever gift that God has bestowed upon you was for the purpose of it being used to help the church, to help in God's, the advancement of His kingdom, and to glorify the Lord. Now, I've shared this with the church before, and I'm thankful, for them. But I remember very well when I was a young man, a young teenager, and I was lost. I remember very well today the way that God used people to get to me. And listen, it wasn't always, in fact, a lot of times, it wasn't the man that was standing up behind the pulpit preaching. And, I'm thankful for God's Word, and God's Word, I mean, it's very important that God's Word be preached. But the Apostle Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said, I planted, Apollos watered. You see, there's things done other than the planting, isn't there? I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And I've shared this before, as I said, of the people. And I remember especially some old sisters in the churches there in Indianapolis where I attended when I was a child, when I attended revival meetings, how stirred up they would get in the Lord and how they would come to me with such a burden and such great desire to see me saved and how they would come to me and put their head on my shoulder and talk to me and witness to me and beg me, won't you please seek the Lord? Won't you seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul? And they would just tear me all to pieces. You know, just to be honest with you, sometimes I could sit towards the back of the house and I could fight a hard fight. Sometimes I could withstand the man that was standing way up there in the front preaching. But boy, I mean, those people that would come to me and put their arms around me and I'll be honest, slobber on me, cry on me, their nose would run on me. I mean, they were just tore up. And I just couldn't stand it. I mean, I could not stand it. And, you know, I've been praying that God will take some people and fire them up like that. Because I believe that's hard for lost people to withstand. It's hard to resist love, isn't it? I mean, it's hard to resist when that love of God begins to show forth in us. It's hard for people to resist that. The Lord told Paul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Hope we get stirred, get fired up in the Lord. We need to be fired up. We need to have a good Holy Ghost fire lit under us, don't we? If we're going to have revival. Well, all of you here tonight can rest easy. The church won't be calling upon you to do the preaching. That's already been handled. But you've got to work too, don't you? God's got something for you to do also. And, one of the things that we need to do, all of us, perhaps one of the things we need to do is try to encourage. I heard, if he don't mind me saying, I hope he don't, I overheard Brother Bandy in his prayer tonight praying for the members of the church that are not attending. Well, that's an important prayer, in my estimation. You know, perhaps we can all together, collectively, perhaps we can encourage them. Perhaps we can take the time to, call them and talk to them and let them know, you know, your presence here is important. God has something for them to do. You know, if you lose a toe, it throws your body off balance. Sure does. The way that God designed the human body when He created it, everything that He put on the human body, down to our little toe, has a purpose. God didn't do anything for cosmetics. He did everything with a purpose. And if you think about it, and if you study it very much, and I don't know how many of you are into anything like that, but if you study it very much, the human body is amazing. I mean, it really is an amazing thing. It's amazing how that God created us to function. It's amazing how that God knew exactly what to do in creating man and woman and making the way for man and woman to be able to reproduce and bring more children through procreation into the world. It's amazing what God did with dust, isn't it? And the Apostle Paul here compared the spiritual body of Christ, the church, to the human body. And he said, you know, the foot can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to any of the other parts, I don't need you. The head can't even look down at the little toe and say, I don't have any need of you, because it does. The body has need of everything that God put there. Everything. So does the church. Every member that the Lord placed in the body, we need them. We need them, and we can't look at any of them and say, well, they don't matter. They're not important. They don't count, because, like I said, without God, none of us are anything. And without Him, we can't do anything. So all are not apostles. All are not prophets. All are not teachers. All are not workers of miracles. It was true of those in that day, and it's true of us today. There may be something that you would like to do. I mean, there may be things that sometimes that people would like to do, and that's not what God has given you to do. I mean, we need to labor in what the Lord has given us to do. I remember one time one of my good preacher friends, in fact, I was ordained with him. He said when the Lord called him to preach, he didn't want to be a preacher. So he went to an old deacon and he tried to convince him that God had called him to sing. And I'm thankful for the wisdom that old deacon had, because he just told him, no, he didn't. You know, if he called you to preach, you can't just replace it by becoming a singer. You know, we've got to labor in that which the Lord called us to do, and share our gifts and our talents that the Lord gave us. Now, before I stop, I want to mention one thing, that every member of the church is able to do, every member, and that every member of the church has a responsibility to share in. In the first chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, beginning with verse 12, it says, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. Listen, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." And if we go on into the second chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Man, that'd be a victory in itself, wouldn't it? If we could just get everybody to come together at once, that'd be a great victory in itself. I never will forget Brother Moran one time, years back at the Old Union Minister School, during one of his lessons, he said, "Somebody told me that they would like to see all of the Missionary Baptist people together in one place." And he said, "I told them I'd like to see all the members of one church together in one place." They were all together. They were all in one accord. They all had a singleness of mind and heart. They weren't scattered out and they weren't thinking about all these worldly things. They were together waiting for what God promised them, laboring in prayer, waiting before God in prayer. I'll tell you what, the Lord's church calling upon Him always precedes revival. Always. Prayer is something that we all do together. Collectively, we can pray. And the Bible teaches me that when the saints of God begin to pray together, begin to call upon His name, that it comes up, our prayers come up before the Lord as a sweet savor unto Him. Every accomplishment takes work, doesn't it? Things just don't get done if people don't work. Some of our government programs have made lazy people, haven't they? I mean, just, you know, we've just created lazy people. They think they can just sit back and do nothing and reap the benefits of you know. My old grandpa used to say, if a man works, he ought to eat. And if he won't work, he don't need to eat. And that's Bible, isn't it? Amen. That's Bible. We need to work in the vineyard of the Lord. And it takes work in order to see things happen. Let's come and pray. We all got a work to do.